This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
There's always doubts, but that's for you guys to talk about. You guys love to talk about that kind of stuff, but that's not something we talk about in here. You know, you don't get the first in the West by accident. There's a good group of guys in here that understand the kind of people we have, the kind of leadership we have to get us to the next level, and we'll do let the plan do the talking, but, you know, we're excited for game one.
Calgary Flames goaltender Mike Smith. He says he's excited about game one. He's confident with their team's goaltending. Certainly the fan base in Calgary may be a little less confident, as we heard from Eric Dehatchik of The Athletic earlier this hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. This segment brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and a total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com.
It's Big Save Mike, Drew. It's not Big Save Dave.
Big Save Mike, hey? Yep. Doesn't ring off the bell quite as much as Big Save Dave.
I mean, Eric Dehatchik talked
Save
about
Dave
it.
Being David Riddick, the
quick mitt
Calgary.
Quick mitt Mike?
No. Just stop both of you. Okay. But anyways, the Calgary Flames goaltending, they're playing the Colorado Avalanche in the first round. The Flames, of course, were the best team in the Western Conference all season long.
I think they're the most underrated top Western Conference team in a long time.
I think it's because of their goaltending. People have very serious concerns about the Calgary Flames goaltending because, well, over the course of the year, it hasn't hurt them. The various goaltenders have run hot and cold, and they've been able to do it where if Mike Smith is cold, Riddick gets hot, and when Riddick gets cold, Mike Smith gets hot. But what happens if they both get cold at the same time? Well, then things are a lot different in Calgary, and I think that's the concern that Flames fans have.
Right, and we know how many goals the Flames score. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau, he's probably going to be a Hart Trophy finalist. I mean, Sean Monahan's had a great year. Matthew Tkachuk is a player, Drew, that I know you really like, and we talk a lot about here on this show, probably because he's Keith Tkachuk's kid. But, I mean, he deserves so much credit for the type of hockey that he plays, and we all know how he got under the skin of Drew Doughty this year. But, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk is a guy that I think is going to have an amazing playoff series. And when you're talking about the Flames and the Avalanche, I mean, this is kind of unfamiliar territory for the Flames team as of late, right? Because, you know, we go back to 2004 and, you know, that incredible run of the Flames and those teams in, you know, let's say 2005 to 2010 that still featured Jerome Iginla. But, I mean, this Flames team is used to being a bottom seed in the Western Conference. Now they're a favorite, right? And I agree with you, Drew. I think there are concerns about the goaltending. And, you know, I started to talk about it, but, you know, it looks very likely that it is going to be Mike Smith. And I think, you know, this is a great opportunity for Smith because even though his numbers weren't really good and he started to get better as the season progressed, I mean, this is a guy who's 37 years old. He had year after year of really good numbers with the Phoenix Coyotes, but he really never had the playoff success. I mean, it was just year after year of disappointing finishes for that Coyotes team, but Mike Smith was always, you know, the constant there in net for the Coyotes. So I think he's going to be fine in this series, and if David Riddick does need to come in, which we don't really know if he's going to need to come in, but I do think that Smith is going to be the guy for Bill Peters. But I simply think, guys, it's going to be just too much offense for the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, yes, Nathan MacKinnon had a great year, and we know that Mikko Rantanen and Gabe Landeskog also had fantastic years. But after that,
Rantanen's healthy to play.
Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a good chance he is going to play game one Thursday, but I just don't think that you're going to get enough secondary offense. And I really do think that, you know, JT Compher, Alex Kerfoot, I mean, Tyson Jost, he went down to the American Hockey League, but I just don't know if they're going to get enough secondary offense. I think that the Avalanche could win a game or two. I just don't see them winning four games against the Flames. And this Flames team is just, they're too fast, they're too skilled, and they're really good defensively. I mean, everybody talks about how the goaltending hasn't been that great, but you're talking about Mark Giordano, who's probably going to win the Norris Trophy, Shawnee.
Should win the Norris.
You're talking about, you know.
He should definitely win the Norris.
Noah Hanifin and
T.J. Brody, no, Travis
sorry,
Hamonic.
I was thinking of Travis Hamonic. Hanifin and Hamonic are a pair.
Yeah.
And then T.J. Brody usually plays with Mark Giordano.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about those top four, I mean, with the exception of maybe Nashville, that's probably the best top four in the entire league. So, I mean, Calgary just, everybody talks about the goaltending. So I just think it's a little bit overblown because that group of defensemen there, they're really stingy. They don't give up a lot of shots and they score a lot of goals. So I have the Flames in six.
Just to add to that, Ezzy, quickly, I mean, you look at the season series, it was 3-0 for the Flames, and Mark Giordano led all players in points in that season series with eight, one goal, seven assists. Elias Lindholm, an amazing contributor for Calgary this year, also scored in all three. So you talk about the depth, and you know both guests, Andy Strickland and Eric Tkachuk, that joined us earlier, talked about you know the two top lines balancing each other out, and then the rest of the depth kind of providing the necessary scoring and insurance. And I mean, it's interesting. They're meeting for the first time in the playoffs in both franchises' history. And you look at the way the Flames are coming into this thing. I mean, they missed the playoffs last year. And do you remember in 2017 what happened? Swept by the Ducks. So
in the second round after they beat the Canucks.
After they beat the Canucks, right. So looking to maybe, you know, make their mark a little bit on the postseason. And yeah, like you talked about earlier, I think they're one of the most underrated teams in the playoffs right now.
Before you give me your predictions on this series, I just want to throw some quick numbers at you. Philip Grubauer in his last 12 games, 8-2-2, 9.52 save percentage, and a 1.55 goals against average. He's been playing lights out in net for the Colorado Avalanche. That's since March 1st.
Oh, yeah.
This is a guy who last year led, the Capitals into the first two playoff games against the Blue Jackets, lost both games, then Braden Holtby took over the job again and went on a run. So Grubauer has some playoff experience, and he's coming in really hot right now. So it'll be interesting to see if the Flames are able to pierce the armor of Philip Grubauer in the Avalanche net.
It's Calgary's offense versus Colorado's defense. And, you know, we talked about the top line, even though they've broken up that line. I mean, Landeskog plays with McKinnon, but yeah. Rantanen is not on that top line. He's
push
on the second line.
Shove, you still expect to see them together.
But we're talking about the big three, right? We know that Colorado can score goals. They just don't get the secondary scoring, but you just mentioned Philip Grubauer. I mean, I can't argue with that, Drew. I mean, his numbers were great down the stretch, but he's going up against the second best offensive team in the league. So
give me your prediction.
I already said the Flames in six. I think the Avalanche can win a game or two. I think Grubauer can maybe steal a game or two, and I think, you know, he'll give them really solid goaltending. I just don't think he's going to do it enough for them to win four games. So I've got the Flames in six. I was even going to go Flames in five.
Sean?
I also have Flames in six, and just another quick interesting little side note. Last time the Flames won the West in 88-89, they won the Cup.
There you go. I'm going.
Shout out to Joel Otto.
It's true. I'm going to say that the Flames are going to win it, but I do think it is going to go the full seven games. Oh. Something about this Colorado Avalanche team right now, they seem to be playing with some confidence. I think they got nothing to lose, and if Grubauer is able to continue this hot play, all of a sudden, what can neutralize an excellent offense? Nothing quite like an unbelievable goaltender. We shall see when we return. We look at the final Western Conference playoff series. That is between the San Jose Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview show on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio, 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Well, I'm looking to see if the San Jose Sharks can start tightening things up defensively. Martin Jones has got to elevate his game. This team should be stronger defensively. They've given up a lot of goals as of late, and that is not a good thing when you're playing Vegas. Vegas will come at you with very quick forecheck. They love to create the turnovers in the neutral zone. The transition game was excellent. And for me, the series length is all going to be up to the Sharks as to whether or not they're going to be able to defend against the Golden Knights.
TSN hockey analyst Dave Reed talking about the Golden Knights San Jose Sharks first round playoff series. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Bernstein's is proudly family-owned and operated and has been serving quality home-style food since 1985. For a hot, fresh breakfast starting at 6:30 in the morning on weekdays and all day long, visit Bernstein's at 1700 Cordon Avenue. That's in the Cordon Village Mall. The Sharks and the Golden Knights, to me, is just, I love this series. I mean, yep. I think this is going to be just a fantastic series. I don't think the San Jose Sharks are getting enough respect. I know that Martin Jones has been struggling this year, and he has not had a Martin Jones-esque season. But to me, when you look at this San Jose Sharks team, they are one of the most complete teams, not just in the West, but in the entire NHL, with the asterisk I'm going to put next to that, the health of Erik Karlsson. If he's only 50% Erik Karlsson, I think the Golden Knights can probably take it. But if he's more than 50%, and if he's closer to 75 or 100%, I think the San Jose Sharks are a very good, slightly dark horse of a team to win the Western Conference.
Right. You just nailed it for me, Drew. I mean, it has to be the goaltending and Erik Karlsson's health. And if Erik Karlsson, as you said, if he is the A-level Erik Karlsson, if he's bringing his A-game, actually, if he's even bringing his B-plus game, it's going to be really tough, I think, for the Golden Knights to shut the Sharks down. Now, we should go over some numbers here because these two teams are two of the best possession teams. The Sharks, in fact, are the best possession team, and then the Golden Knights aren't that far behind. They're in the top three at third. So you're talking about two teams that love to possess the puck, two very dynamic offensive teams. And, you know, the Golden Knights struggled offensively, but after they acquired Mark Stone, all of their offensive statistics went up. Goals for, shots for, all of that. Mark Stone just made them even more dynamic, right? And you're talking about the second line of Max Pacioretty, Paul Stastny, and Mark Stone. I mean, that's a first line on almost any other team in the entire league, maybe with the exception of maybe the Lightning and the Jets, right? So Marchessault, Karlsson, and Smith, that's still your top line. Yeah, their numbers weren't as good this year as they were last year, but when you're able to put out Pacioretty, Stastny, and Stone, that's a very good line. But back to the San Jose Sharks. We talked about it with Eric Dehatchik. Yunus Donskoy is going to be a healthy scratch for the Sharks. Yeah. Gus Nyquist on that second line with Tomas Hertl and Evander Kane, an excellent line. But the key line for me, and we've talked about it all year long, we've had Paul Gackle on several times, Joe Thornton, Marcus Sorensen, and Kevin LeBanc. Mm-hmm. LeBanc has got to be one of the most underrated forwards in the entire league. Joe Thornton has just been fantastic the last couple of months of the season. And I think that is going to be a big storyline, guys, here in this series. Yes, Martin Jones is going to have to be really good, and he has been really good in the past in the playoffs. But Joe Thornton, for me, you know, this might be his last opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. We know he's going to be a future Hall of Famer, but I mean, this, if there's any team that's going to win the Stanley Cup, it's this year with Erik Karlsson. By the way, we don't even know if Karlsson is going to stay with the Sharks, right?
Yeah, so, well, he's a pending unrestricted free agent.
I agree with you, Drew. This is going to be a fascinating series. I just don't see this series, you know, being less than six games. You've just got so much talent on each side. I think a big question mark as well has to be Marc-Andre Fleury's health and the amount of games he's played. He's played well over 100 games when you factor in the playoffs, right? He played, you know, what was it, 62 games this year, and he played, you know, 20 playoff games last year, plus another, you know, 40 during the regular season. So I think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be a huge factor because, let's be honest, they probably don't get to the West, pardon me, the Stanley Cup final unless he steals the West final. So, you know, goaltending is going to be huge, but it's all going to come down to depth. And, you know, when you look at the Sharks, we talked about that third line, you know, they get so much offense from their defense. Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson, you know, Brendan Dillon is an underrated defenseman. You know, Mark-Edward Vlasic, I think he's really turned around his career after he struggled earlier in the season. So I like the Sharks. I'm taking the Sharks in seven. And just because I took them in seven, I mean, you know, it could go the other way. So I think this is going to be, again, a really, really hard-fought series.
Sean, your thoughts on this series between two teams that, from my perspective, this is almost the equivalent of the Blues-Jets series in the Pacific Division, given how evenly matched these two teams are. It really is the proverbial coin flip series.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'll echo both you guys, where I think a lot of it starts with the success for San Jose with regards to Erik Karlsson's status. And not so much what he can do offensively, which we all know he's a dynamic player, and you know, some people rip his defensive game, but his ability to move at pace and at speed and to just play the game at an elite style speed will be huge for the Sharks, because if there's one thing we know here in Winnipeg, it is the speed and tenacity at which the Vegas Golden Knights play in the postseason. They're quick on the puck, they force turnovers, and as you guys talked about, they generate a lot of shots. So if the goaltending is shaky for the San Jose Sharks, they're going to be tested with a lot of rubber, and they're going to need either Martin Jones or whichever backup they have playing.
Arendelle,
thank you. That's what I thought it was. To be on their game. And, I mean, you talk about Marc-Andre Fleury's status. I mean, he was rested a bit down the stretch, whether or not he was injured or whatever. I'm pretty sure they kept him out just to make sure that he is well-rested.
You talk about rest, though. And, I mean, I look at this – sorry, Sean, but I look at this Vegas team, and to me, they're a team that is, to some extent, just running on fumes. That, I mean, they had a lengthy playoff run last year. And, I think when you lose the
You also have to factor in the Golden Knights bounced the Sharks in the second round last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's that revenge factor for the Sharks, right?
Certainly the motivation factor. But when you're the losing team in the Stanley Cup final, I think it's almost harder to bounce back from that than it is to be the winning team. I think that getting that far to the Stanley Cup final and then losing is, it's not demoralizing because obviously.
It's probably demoralizing.
It's demoralizing.
You work so hard and you know, now you know how hard it is to get back to the top of the mountain.
But I think to get that far again the next season is harder than almost the motivation to want to repeat.
You know what's a good way to do that? Adding a second first line to your team.
Well, certainly, this Vegas Golden Knights team on paper is better than the Golden Knights team that went to the Cup final last year, in my opinion. You know, you look across the board and you'd say the talent is better. Now, Marchessault, Smith, that line hasn't been, Carlson hasn't been as good this year as they were last year. To me, they just seem like they've exerted so much energy over the past, almost close to 180 hockey games when you include the playoffs last year, that I don't know that they'll have what it takes to win another.
It was a magical run. I mean, that last year was magic. At the beginning of the year, no one had Vegas making the playoffs, let alone going to the Stanley Cup final, right? And a lot of that had to do with Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury was playing like the guy who won the Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? And that to me is, you can't boil it down to that, Drew, but I think, you know, it has a lot to do with that. And, you know, can Fleury be that same goalie that he was in the four rounds last year? I don't know if he can. He might be, because, I mean, Fleury is, you know, one of the best goaltenders of all time. He really is. But I just look at the Sharks, and the other number I wanted to bring up is they had eight guys with 15 or more goals.
Yeah.
And Eunice Donskoy had 14. So they almost had nine guys with more than 15 goals. You're talking about four 30-goal scorers. Hurdle, Pavelski, Kane, and Joe Pavelski.
Mm-hmm.
Or did I say Pavelski twice?
Pavelski
there?
Twice.
Meyer, Pavelski, Evander Kane, and Tomas Hurdle.
Yeah.
And then Logan Couture was almost made it five guys that had 30 or more goals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
they're balanced. They're
a very dangerous team.
One through 12. I mean, even a guy like on their fourth line, a guy like Melker Karlsson, he's a player.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. He played well for San Jose here and against the Jets when you remember that game. Not the most recent one, the one two games ago in Winnipeg where the Sharks won. You know, the San Jose team, to me, if Martin Jones can just be average, he doesn't have to be great. He's been below average most of the year and they still finish second. If he can bump up his play just a little bit, then I think the San Jose Sharks team can certainly win the West. And, you know, if you're in a hockey draft and, you know, maybe the draft hasn't happened or it's happening tomorrow or Thursday and you're looking for a team that, you know, maybe is a little off the board, maybe isn't going as early as you should be, to me, it's the San Jose Sharks where you can get some players a little bit later than you might necessarily expect to. So, Ezzy, you had what did you say? You had the Sharks in six? Is that what you said?
No, I've got the Sharks in seven. I wanted to take them in six, but I don't think the Golden Knights are going to go out quietly.
Sure.
So I'll go San Jose in seven.
Ezzy's got San Jose in seven. Sean?
I got Vegas in six.
Sean has Vegas
in six. I like it, Shawnee.
I think it's San Jose in six.
The dice roll.
To me, this is the series. I think the Sharks team is actually going to only improve as the playoffs go on. I like the San Jose team. I have them in six to beat the Vegas Golden Knights. When we come back, we shift our focus to the Eastern Conference. Earlier today, I sat down with Kevin Allen of USA Today to preview the Eastern Conference playoff matchups. We'll bring that to you next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Welcome back to NHL This Week. It's part of our NHL playoff preview show here on TSN Radio 1290. Our guest is Kevin Allen of USA Today. Kevin, good afternoon as we're pre-recording this interview. Appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure. I can't believe it's already playoff time again.
Yeah, the regular season flies by as it always does, and it's nice to be at this point in time where the games matter a little more, and we don't have the doldrums of a mid-February Tuesday night game, but, they certainly matter more now, and it's an exciting opportunity for everybody to see some of the best NHL teams rise to the top.
Well, absolutely, and, I think, this season where we've watched the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, just be dominant start to finish, and I think everyone's wondering whether, you know, they can actually be conquered. Is there anyone that's going to be able to take them down? So, it's going to be an interesting playoff, but it almost feels like you know, we're fighting for second place, the rest of the group.
It certainly does, given your, like you said, the Lightning dominance. And let's start with that series, that first round matchup between the Lightning and the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, on paper, it looks one-sided. We know that the Blue Jackets had to absolutely scratch and crawl just to get into the playoffs. When the two teams played each other in the regular season this year, the Lightning dominated. They outscored the Blue Jackets something like 17-4 in the three games that they won. So from your perspective, you know, what can the Blue Jackets sort of cling to as to give them hope in winning that series against the Lightning?
Well, not much, you know, and not only just on paper, but I just think, you know, the reality of it is that there aren't many series where you don't give the lower seed a chance, but this is one of them. And, you know, I think everybody, I know, at least I was kind of excited that we had a general manager willing to push all in and go for the playoffs. It seems like everybody's kind of embraced this idea that, you know, if you're not a contending team, you know, you should rebuild and, you know, not worry about it. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to push in. But, you know, the bold moves they've made really didn't pay off. Like, they're not better than they were before, you know, getting Duchesne and the other players that they did. And, you know, I like the Blue Jackets, but I think the matchup's all wrong for them. And not that they're, you know, anybody's a good matchup this year for the Lightning, but I just don't see much of a chance. You know, even the hot goalie idea just doesn't work for them, because I think, you know, there's some issues with Bobrovsky and what's going to happen to him, you know, after this season. So, you know, frankly, I rarely pick a sweep for anybody, but I picked the Lightning to sweep in this one. I just don't see much of a chance for them.
Kevin Allen of USA Today is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview show. You know, Kevin, so I agree with you. I just don't see the Blue Jackets matching up well against this Lightning team. But, you know, last year the Lightning were also a dominant team in the regular season, not quite as dominant as they were this year, but they were certainly a very good team, and yet they fell short. Why is this Lightning team different from your perspective than, say, last year's team that fell just a bit short?
Well, I mean, I think it's multiple reasons. You know, I think they don't really have any holes. Like, you know, I think Vasilevsky's a year older, a year wiser. I think he's better prepared than he's been in the past. I think the addition of McDonough has really changed that defense. I think he was so kind of a missing piece, and I know, you know, this season, you know, he was there last season, but, you know, this season now he fits in better. He understands how the Lightning play. And then, you know, just everybody is just better. Like, they're all farther into the primes of their career. And, you know, even all their role players, when you just add it all up, I just don't think they have any holes. You know, there's no place to exploit. Like, they're terrific at penalty killing, terrific in the power play. You know, they're not among the best two or three teams defensively, but, you know, they're in the top 10, and of course their offense is dynamite. They're well coached. They really got it all. But more importantly, I think, you know, the last couple of seasons they've lost dramatic game sevens, and I think they've really kind of gone to school. And I talked to Steven Stamkos earlier in the year, and he basically said, you know, we've sort of watched the Washington Capitals and how they, you know, charged in and, you know, developed sort of a swagger, a bravado, and they just rode that. And he says, now, you know, we've talked about that, and it just seems like our turn. Like, last year, the Capitals acted as if it was their turn, and it was. Well, we've acted this season like it's our turn, and we expect it to be.
You mentioned the Capitals. Kevin Allen of USA Today is my guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show playoff preview show. And you mentioned the Capitals, and, you know, they are the defending Stanley Cup champions. They won the Metropolitan Division. Yet nobody's really talking about them. They're sort of flying under the radar as much as a division winner can fly under the radar. They have a first-round matchup against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hurricanes team finally making the playoffs after missing it for almost a decade or over a decade. How do you see that first-round matchup? And you think maybe there's an element of the Capitals are not really disrespected, but, you know, that they're not maybe getting their due for how good their regular season was?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair analysis, but I think part of it is we know how difficult it is to repeat. Although saying that, we've seen the Penguins do it recently. But I also think that everyone saw the injury to Kempney late in the season. And, you know, I think the Capitals are one of those teams that, you still sort of need everything to kind of go right. And I don't think they can afford to lose Kempney if they want to try to take down the Tampa Bay Lightning like he was last season. His acquisition, I thought, sort of solidified the defense. And they've added Jensen this season. And when they made that trade, I thought, wow, like, you know, maybe they do have a shot against the Lightning. But I think he was pretty important to their team, even though you wouldn't think that, you know, the number three or four defenseman, depending on how you look at it, would be that valuable. But I think when you're trying to compete against the Lightning and you need everything to go right, and I think that was a significant injury. But I do believe that if anybody could take down the Lightning, it's Washington. Like, that's still a terrific team. And, you know, one of the things that make the Lightning is that they have a lot of star power. Well, guess what? Capitals have that too. You know, they've got Ovechkin, they've got Backstrom, they've got Kuznetsov. You know, they've got a big name goalie in Holtby. They, you know, Carlson is among the elite defensemen. So they have star power as well. So I'm not completely ruling out that, you know, they couldn't come out of that East and be in the Stanley Cup final. I mean, this is still a formidable team. But I'm not so sure people are disrespecting the Capitals as much as they are just exalting the Lightning this season.
Kevin Allen of USA Today, my guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, talking about the Eastern Conference playoffs. Of course, the playoffs get underway here in Winnipeg tomorrow night as the Jets and the Blues will do battle. A game you can hear live on TSN Radio 1290. Kevin, from my perspective, the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs, they renew their acquaintance for yet another playoff series. We know the Leafs haven't been able to get over that first round hump. We know that it's been in Toronto, it's been a team that's sort of been in a little bit of upheaval for the last month or so, given their performance on the ice as of late. Why do you think the Leafs can upset the Bruins this time when they haven't been able to do it the last 2 years? Or do you see the Bruins being the better of the two teams yet again?
Well, I do see the Bruins as being the better of two. And I think the Bruins are almost like the trendy pick in the league. I think everybody sort of this season has liked the way they've played. You know, they've got it kind of all together and all aspects of the game, and it's almost like we've rediscovered Patrice Bergeron. And not that we didn't know that he was a superstar, but you know, there's been a celebration of him, and I think Marchand has kind of moved beyond the bad boy image, and now we just see him as one of the elite wingers in the game today. And you know, Chara keeps rolling along. You know, at 132 years old, he's still among the best you know, players, you know, on the blue line, and they've got some young guys as well, and on McAvoy, and you know, it's just another team that doesn't have too many holes and has a lot of depth. And I think, you know, adding to that is the fact that, as you mentioned, the Maple Leafs have struggled, and also they've looked kind of blasé to me. Like, they really have not looked like a team that has Tavares and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and Nylander and Kadri. Like, you know, a team with that much talent should have some pizzazz to it. And they have not really looked like a team that has that much flash. And I thought the Muzzin was a great acquisition. I like him a lot. I thought it was going to improve things. But, you know, they're just as defensively sloppy as they were at the start of the season. And I think that's their undoing. Like, you know, they're still going to score a lot of goals, and they're a dynamic presence. And Freddie Anderson is a terrific goalie, and he's capable of matching up favorably with anybody in the league. But they're just porous defensively, and they don't seem to have any way to turn it on or off. And, you know, I remember back, you know, in the heyday of the Edmonton Oilers, like, they were such a great offensive team, and they often were sloppy defensively. But come playoff time, they know what to do, and they can change things up, and they can tighten up. I don't see that with the Maple Leafs. They don't seem to have the ability to, when they really need it, to play a more conservative defensive game. I just, you know, I don't have a lot of faith. And, you know, their hope for an upset, in my mind, comes down to Anderson and then, you know, one of the big stud forwards just having an incredible series. I think that's really their only hope, because the Bruins are a better hockey team. I don't think there's any question about that.
If the Leafs can't tighten up, and I happen to agree with you, it does seem like they don't have any interest in playing that style that usually is required to be successful in the playoffs. What does that say about head coach Mike Babcock?
Well, I'm a big believer in Babcock. I think, Ken Holland has said for years that, all the coaches he's met in his career, nobody prepares a team quite like Babcock. I think Babcock's strength is he can take a team, and if it's a 90-point team, he can make it a 104-point team. Like, he's about a 10 to 14-point coach, just in terms of his ability to kind of get more out of it. And I've been sort of shocked that he has not been able to make this team defensively better, because let's look at the comparison would be what happened when Barry Trotz went to the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders were the best defensive team this year. And a lot of that was Trotz, who just got everyone to buy in and, kind of changed the system and put all the emphasis on keeping the puck out of the net. And it was the right decision because they had lost John Tavares. So we know coaches can do that. So I'm a little shocked that Babcock has been unable to the personnel are one thing, but he's not been able to get this team to buy in on the need to play differently than they have in the past.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Our guest is Kevin Allen of USA Today. We're discussing the Eastern Conference playoffs, which, of course, the NHL playoffs get underway tomorrow night. The Jets and the Blues, a game you can hear live on TSN Radio 1290. Kevin, you mentioned the New York Islanders in talking about Barry Trotz in the previous answer, and that's certainly, they've been one of the best stories of the year, one of the most surprising stories of the year. And that's going to be, I think, one of the most fun series in the first round. The Islanders back at the Raucous Coliseum facing against the Pittsburgh Penguins. How do you see that series shaking out? I mean, the Islanders, did finish ahead of the Penguins in the Metropolitan Division, but I don't see anybody giving them much of a chance to knock off the Crosby and Malkin and Kessel and the perennial Stanley Cup contenders in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm not giving them any love either. I think the Penguins to win that, and I'm a real pro Barry Trotz kind of guy. He's one of my coaches that I enjoy watching him maneuver. And I just didn't like what I saw late in the season with the Islanders. Like, I think, the novelty of Trotz's coaching style had kind of worn off. And I think self-doubt has crept into the Islanders a little bit. And who knows? I mean, we've seen in the past teams can rediscover their mojo when they cross over into the playoffs. And they kind of get excited and momentum builds and confidence grows. But I just don't like what I see from that team. They look like they've kind of fallen a little bit on old habits. And, meanwhile, Crosby and Malkin and Letang have played more than 400 playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those have just been huge games? And, they know what they're doing and they do it well. And I think that's their advantage. There's nothing they haven't seen. They don't panic. Not only do they have all these games of experience, but all three of those guys have a reputation for playing well, in the postseason. And I think what's forgotten about the Penguins is that they're really sort of a different team from maybe the seventh forward, fourth defenseman down. Like, they've really changed kind of the back end of their roster, and it's kind of interesting. They've got Bukestad, who's moved in and played pretty well for them, and Guentzel, he's been good for a long time, but he's a much more prominent player in the offense now. I think he's sort of passed Phil Kessel in terms of the kind of the go-to guy. McCann's a young player that's done a pretty good job for them as well. They're a different team now in the sort of the bottom part of the roster, and I think that sort of has freshened them up a little bit. And then meanwhile, you still got the key guys up front. The one thing I would say about the Penguins, but it's been true going back to 2008, they always have seemed one forward short to me. There's just not enough quality forwards for both Crosby and Malkin, and it's still true today. Like, I think they could use one more, elite scorer to take advantage of having both Crosby and Malkin. But I did take the Penguins to win it. I think they're a real sleeper. It's hard to believe that I can call the Pittsburgh Penguins a sleeper, but I'm going to. No one's paying attention to them, and I still think they're a pretty good hockey team. They're not a great team. They're not a team that I would say is one of the favorites. They're not there with Washington and Tampa, but I think they're capable of beating both of those teams. Like, if they played 10 times, I think they could beat the Capitals 3 out of 10, maybe 4 out of 10. And I would say if they played the Lightning 10 times in a series, I think they could beat them twice or three times. Like, I think they're that good. So with those kind of odds, you know, who knows? Anything can happen.
It always is. Anything can happen when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Kevin, last question for you, and I'm sure you know what it's going to be. The prediction time, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, everyone seems to have them coming out of the East. Do you, I guess? And then second of all, who do you have them matching up against coming out of the West?
Well, I had the Tampa Bay Lightning in September, and I'm sticking with them. They're just an awesome team, and I don't know whether we compare them to that mid-90s Red Wings 62 win team or the 8-loss Canadian team in the 70s, but they're one of the two. And if they win this year, they're going to go down as one of the great teams ever. So I have them winning it all. And then the West, I think the West is wide open. Like, I really think it's possible that every lower seed could win the series, in the first round. I mean, it won't happen, but it just could happen because I think it's wide open. And I toyed around with going with Winnipeg early on or Calgary, but I kind of settled on, and I believe I'm almost taking this because nobody has given them much of a chance, and I'm going to go with the Predators because I didn't like how they were playing either, but they still have the most talented defense, and they still have Rennie. And I wonder if that's going to carry them through and get them through to the final. But I wouldn't be shocked if anybody came out of the West.
Kevin Allen covers the NHL for USA Today. Kevin, always appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Kevin Allen of USA Today joined me earlier today to talk about the Eastern Conference. When we come back, we'll continue with our look at the East. The Lightning and the Blue Jackets is the first series up. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview show on the home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Well, Sergei Bobrovsky, the last month of the season, rediscovered his form and played like Sergei Bobrovsky, multiple Vezina Trophy winning goaltender. And so I think Columbus dealt with the pressure of the expectations of the trade deadline moves and non-moves that they make. They kind of gelled. They won the games late, and Bobrovsky's been excellent. Tampa will be tough, but I think that's what Columbus has to cling to right now. We have the goalie that can be the difference maker, that can steal games on his own, because going up against Tampa to win a series 4-7, you will need multiple games where your goaltender steals it.
Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst, talking about the Blue Jackets Lightning series. I got to say, Mike was doing a good job trying to give Blue Jackets fans a little bit of hope. I didn't buy that Mike believed what he was saying there fully. I mean, he's saying this is what you have to cling to. This is what you have to clutch to. But to me, this Lightning Blue Jackets series looks very one-sided. The Lightning won all three games. They played the Blue Jackets this regular season. And the scores, the cumulative scores in those games, 17-4. This, to me, is a one-sided series.
Right. I think I could see the Blue Jackets winning a game, maybe two games. I just don't see this being any more than six games.
And two games, to me, would be a surprise.
It's a dream season for the Lightning, right, guys? I mean, 62 wins. They tie the 95-96 or the 94-95, one of those two years when the Red Wings won 62 games, right? They almost set the record. And I mean, just look at every single statistical category, right? They averaged almost four goals a game, best power play, one of the best penalty kills. I mean, there just aren't any weaknesses on this team, starting with Andre Vasilevsky in net. And even Louis Domingue had a great season as a backup for Vasilevsky. So you're looking at this Lightning team, and I mean, how can you shut down all of these snipers? I mean, Nikita Kucherov, 120 points. I mean, Braden Point had a career year. Steven Stamkos, 45 goals, right? Like, you just go up and down the roster, and, you know, Victor Hedman, he's going to be healthy. It looked like maybe he was going to miss, a significant portion of the first round series, but this Lightning team is just way too strong, and you talk about even going down to the third line, right? You've got Anthony Cirelli, you've got Yanni Gourde, you've got Who am I missing there, Drew?
JT Alex Killorn.
Alex Killorn.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just too many weapons for John Cooper to use here. And like I said, I mean, the Blue Jackets are a nice story. You know, it looked like they might miss the playoffs. And Artemi Panarin had an absolutely fantastic year. And I do think Matt Duchene and Ryan Dzingel, you know, really did push them over the top. And, you know, even though Sergei Bobrovsky was looking like, you know, he was in the doghouse and maybe, you know, Jonas Korpisalo was going to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky really did finish the season strong. So I do think that this series, you know, will be interesting. I could even see the Blue Jackets winning the first game. I mean, they won the first two games against the Capitals last year.
Yeah.
I just can't see them, as I said, taking the series to more than six games. I just can't see them winning 4 of 7.
It would be one of the most significant upsets in NHL history. I mean, the Lightning.
Yep, I would agree with that.
The Lightning were that good this year. This Blue Jackets team, you know, it's just a bad matchup for them. They want the Blue Jackets want to play sort of an up and down style. They want to play a north south game where they're trading chances and they want it to be a little bit open. You can't play that style against the Lightning. That's playing right into the Lightning's hands. And I know that's how the Blue Jackets are built and that's how they want to play, but they're not built as well and they can't play it as well as the Tampa Bay Lightning do. So it's just asking for a recipe of hurt if you're the Blue Jackets. I mean, I don't know how they can pull the rabbit out of the hat, as the expression goes.
You think every team in every other series, if Columbus somehow manages to beat Tampa Bay, sends the Blue Jackets a thank you gift basket?
Well, I mean,
fruits and chocolates and whatnot. I mean, they could do the whole postseason a huge favor. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
Give me the predictions. Tell me what you guys think. How many games? I mean, it seems unanimous that everyone's going Lightning. Sean, how many?
I got Lightning in four. I don't really like predicting sweeps, but yeah. I mean,
it feels like a sweep.
Yeah, I got four.
Shawnee's holding the broom right now. I can't say four, Sean, just because
weird to say, but right. I'm saying it. I'm
it's not like
it.
Back in the day, right? 10, 15 years ago, you used to see sweeps, and I guess we saw a sweep last year. So, I mean, I could see it happening, and I want to say five, but you know what? I think the Blue Jackets will win two games. So I've got the Lightning in six, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 4 or 5.
I think that's optimistic from your perspective. I'm echoing Sean Assor. I think this is a sweep. I mean, I look at it.
You don't think Columbus is going to win a single game, eh, boys?
Tell me why. I mean, tell me why they're going to win a game. Why are the Lightning, who haven't slipped at all, the Lightning who could have slipped from, I don't know, they could have stopped playing in February and they still were going to finish first overall in the NHL. And all they did was win and win and win and win.
I can't wait for Saturday's show when we're talking about how Columbus won game one.
It's going to happen.
Inevitably, it's exactly what's going to happen.
In their three wins quickly over the Blue Jackets this year, the Lightning outscored them 17-3.
I said that already.
Oh.
You weren't listening. You pulled an Ezzy.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I said that right off the start of the segment. You pulled an Ezzy.
You leave, and he rubs off on me.
Then, well, you know what? You probably should try.
Ezzy, did you know that in their three meetings this year, the Lightning outscored them 17-3?
When we come back, we talk about the.
By the way, you guys are going to have to buy me a beer. Let's make a bet right now because I don't think we're going to have a sweep.
I prefer not to buy.
I will put beers on the line.
Can I buy another sleeve of donuts instead?
Yeah, Ezzy brought a sleeve of donuts to the show for some reason. Whatever, however you want to pronounce them, it's still a sleeve of sugar, powdered sugar.
And I ate half of them.
Somebody's not in playoff game shape over here. You can guess who.
I'm not in any type of shape.
The beard is. The beard's looking nice.
Thank you.
The beard is well trimmed. When we come back, we talk about the Bruins and the Leafs. Can the Leafs finally get over the hump? You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview special on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio, 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
They're coming for us. We're coming for them. I mean, playing for a chance to win a cup, so both teams are going to be ready, and it's going to be a competitive series. You know, there's a lot of history, not just last year, but in the past, and even the regular season games add to it.
Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand talking about what will be another chapter in a pretty epic playoff rivalry between the Bruins and the Leafs. Thus far, a one-sided playoff rivalry is, of course, the Leafs are looking to overcome the Boston Bruins for the first time in the last number of seasons. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're not Saturday morning. I was going to say we're actually Tuesday evening here on TSN Radio 1290 as we are going through the Eastern Conference as part of our playoff preview special. This segment of the show brought to you by our good good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit RumorsComedyClub.com. I'm pleased to announce that with the return of the Stanley Cup playoffs comes the return of the hashtag ICOT pool. Remember, any playoff game, doesn't have to involve the Jets necessarily, any playoff game that goes into overtime, send us who you think will be the game-winning goal scorer. Use the hashtag ICOT pool. Guess correctly. Get your name drawn. You can win tickets to Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. That all starts tomorrow evening with the first game in the Stanley Cup Finals and the Stanley Cup Playoffs, pardon me. Remember, any playoff game means it's time for the ICOT pool.
I know you want to get into Bruins Leafs here, but is there anything better than OT on the opening night of the playoffs? The answer is no.
I'm glad that we had that conversation.
I hope we have at least a couple of OTs tomorrow. And then we can give out some tickets to Rumors.
We can. We can do that. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if there's nothing better, but I appreciate what you're saying.
No. There's nothing better.
Nothing better.
Well, maybe the birth of our children or wedding days.
Yeah.
But aside from that, nothing.
Good hamburger.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a good pizza.
Yeah.
Steak.
Yeah. We're basically finding a lot of things that are better now.
A good piece of cheesecake.
Those powdered donuts.
I was croquettes. Just going to say, the last two donuts.
Yeah, the donuts
sleeve.
You got from the gas station that are here. In any event,
a good bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, the point is that the playoffs and overtime especially are a wonderful thing to experience.
The Illegal Curve sandwich.
Yeah, stop talking now. Bruins and the Leafs. Give me a reason, gentlemen, why this can be the year that the Leafs overtake the Bruins. Given what you've seen of both teams this season, given that you've seen a Toronto Maple Leafs team that has had a fair bit of tumultuous times this year, hasn't looked like it's clicking on all cylinders, certainly doesn't look like a team that's built for the playoffs when a defensive mindset is more important than a run-and-gun style. So tell me why you think the Maple Leafs can overtake the Bruins this season.
Yeah, and you know that's a really good question because the Bruins had a phenomenal year and the Leafs really struggled down the stretch. And you know, for me, the two reasons are John Tavares and when you're talking about Jake Muzzin. I mean, last year the Leafs didn't have John Tavares. And when you have a 1-2 up the middle of Tavares and Matthews, you know you're going to be one of the best offensive teams in the league. And the Leafs are one of the best offensive teams in the league. It's going to come down to Freddie Anderson. Can he outplay Tuukka Rask? And are the Leafs going to be able to tighten up defensively? You talked to Kevin Allen about it, Drew. I mean, yeah. You talk about the run-and-gun offense, and we know that the Leafs can score 3 or 4 or even 5 or 6 goals in a game. But are they going to be able to shut down that top line of Marchand, Pasternak, and Bergeron? And not just shut them down for a game or two. Are they going to be able to shut them down in a 7-game series, right? And when you're talking about the second line, you've got David Krejci, you've got Jake DeBrusk, and our good friend Carson Kuhlman, who's been on a Legal Curve before. He's playing on the second line now, former University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldog. And that's a fantastic second line. Lots of offensive firepower. You know, Krejci, I don't think, gets enough respect for the season that he's having. What does he have, 50 assists? Or he had 50 assists or something like that in the regular season? So he's starting to look like the Krejci of old, but really solid up the middle. And I actually think Charlie Coyle has really fit in on that Bruins team. He was acquired, of course, in that trade for Ryan Donato.
53 assists for
Krejci. Yeah, 53 assists. Yeah. Krejci had a really good year for the Bruins, so we know how good they are offensively, and you know they're still very strong defensively, very stingy. The Bruins do not give up a lot of goals. Still a very good defensive team, and you know they're really good special teams. I mean, there aren't a lot of weaknesses with the Bruins. I think if anything, you would say maybe you know on the third or fourth lines they don't match up as well against the Tampa Bay Lightning. But really, which team in the NHL has the third and fourth lines like the Lightning
and that's
have? Right,
and that's a second round problem that they can deal with after they go get through the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think it is going to be very tough for the Leafs to win. I think for me, you know, what an X factor could be is I do think it could be Jake Gardner. And I mean, Gardner and Travis Dermott were injured and the Leafs really struggled. And, you know, Gardner's a guy who, you know, is haunted by what happened. But I think, you know, if Jake Gardner.
It happened in game 7 last year,
right.
where he was absolutely exposed. What was he, a -5? Plus minus is the be all and end all.
Right.
But, you know, in this instance, last year in game 7, it was as bad as it looked for Jake Gardner.
And that's your top pair. I mean, you're going to have Morgan Riley with Jake Gardner, and then you're going to have, you know, Jake Muzzin on the second pair with Nikita Zaitsev. And, you know, know, Jake Muzzin, even though, you know, he's a former Stanley Cup winner, you know, he struggled a little bit because they tried him on the right side, but he's better on the left side. And, you know, Ron Hainsey, I think, is ideally suited for a third pairing role. But, you know, Travis Dermott is a left shot guy. So is he going to play on the right side? I mean, Mike Babcock, we know he likes the left side, left shot, right shot. But on this team, you have a much stronger left side than the right side. And are the Leafs going to be able to figure it out? Because, as I mentioned, one of the best offensive teams in the NHL, but all year long they struggled defensively, giving up too many shots. And you have to ask yourself, you know, can Freddie Anderson steal more than a couple of games? Because if the Leafs are going to beat the Bruins, I think Freddie Anderson will probably have to have a couple of shutouts and he'll probably have to badly outplay Rask.
Well, you know, the Boston, if you're the Boston Bruins and every time you see Nikita Zaitsev out on the ice and he goes over the boards first, especially in, you know, a defensive zone draw situation, and the Bruins can throw out that top line or the Krejci line, you know, they just have to be salivating at that opportunity. Nikita Zaitsev has been absolutely horrendous for the Maple Leafs all season long. You know, Mike Babcock continues to use him. He's a Mike Babcock favorite, despite the fact that, you know, his performance certainly has not been commensurate with the salary that he gets paid this season. I mean, you just look at it, it's another one of those things where it's a bad matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Even their offensive firepower, I think, can be neutralized to some extent by the Boston Bruins. And the Bruins, you know, are a smarter team than the Toronto Maple Leafs are. They play smarter hockey. They play a smarter style than the Maple Leafs do. The Maple Leafs are fun. They're great in, you know, in December, if you want a run and gun Saturday night, 8-6 sort of game. In the second week of April, God help you if you're trying to play that style against the Boston Bruins team that is pretty damn talented.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a recipe for success when you're trying to prevent goals from being scored, especially with a team that's had its defensive struggles such as the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, the Bruins taking the season series 3-1, so, you know, they're feeling good about themselves entering. For me, you know, the addition of John Tavares is so important for the Maple Leafs because he adds, you know, that 1A centerman on your top line that you could potentially match up with the Bergeron line. I don't know if they're going to go head-to-head with that matchup, but if that is the case, Toronto has to be hoping on its depth to come through. I mean, guys like Austin Matthews, Kasperi Kapanen, William Nylander, these are guys they need to find their...
Nylander's been terrible.
Been terrible, but much like James Neal, I mean, if you can turn it around right now, you can salvage a season, right? I mean, sure. Nazem Kadri, a guy who's a pretty gritty forward, mm-hmm. who can earn some valuable minutes and time in the postseason. But I mean, it's going to be a real busy series, I think, for Zdeno Chara, Charlie McAvoy, Torey Krug, Brandon Carlo, the top four of the Bruins defense, a stellar top four. But Ezzy, just like you were talking about, I mean, Freddie Anderson better do his stretches because he is going to be busy.
Right. And, you know, I realize that most people are taking the Bruins in the series, but I do think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. I mean, we saw 7 games last year. I think there's every reason to believe this is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. And, you know, Shawnee, you mentioned Nazem Kadri, and we know how important, you know, centers are in the NHL, especially in the playoffs. And I'm really going to be interested to see how Marlowe, Kadri, and Nylander do. I mean, that's a fantastic third line. And,
absolutely.
You know, there's a good chance that the Kadri line goes up against the Bergeron line, and you're talking about a 250-point line. And I realize that, you know, the Kucherov-Braden Point line, the Yanni Gourde is the other guy on that line. I realize that that line, you know, there's every reason to say that's the best line in hockey, but Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, I would probably say that's the best line in all of hockey.
That's the best line. That's the best threesome in hockey.
I would say so. So, I mean, you're going to see Morgan Rielly, and whether it's Jake Gardner or Ron Hainsey on the top pair, I prefer Gardner with Rielly, but are they going to be able to shut them down? And I really do think Nazem Kadri, Nylander, and Marlowe, if that line is one of the top lines in the series, I do think the Leafs can win the series, and it all comes back to goaltending, like Sean said, like
prediction,
I said.
Prediction.
I'm taking the Leafs in 7. And
you were on drugs.
Well, I realize that I want to take the Bruins.
Take the Bruins. If you want to take the Bruins,
John Tavares is having the quietest 47-goal or 48-goal season of all time. I mean, it's almost like, you know, his name should be mentioned more in the Hart Trophy conversation. And I'm not a Leafs fan, but I mean, you got to give credit where it's due. He had a fantastic season. So I do think the Leafs are going to win this series. I think we're going to see a bunch of overtime games, but I don't have any confidence in picking the Leafs.
Yeah, I don't have any
confidence.
The Bruins
are a great team too, but I got to go with my gut.
I don't have any confidence in that pick by you either. Sean?
There's a lot of donuts in my gut.
I'm going to go Bruins in 6.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Sean here. I mean, and I'm going to say Bruins in six, but if things go poorly for the Leafs in the first couple games, like really poorly, it could be Bruins in five. I mean, I think Toronto has just been in such disarray. They just don't look like a cohesive unit at all.
But they're healthy now. They weren't healthy before.
The Boston Bruins are a better team than the Toronto Maple Leafs, and there's just a lot of noise, I think, surrounding the Leafs. Then they don't seem ready for this stage of the game. When we come back, we're going to touch on the last couple series. We'll give our Stanley Cup predictions. Much more to come here. Listen to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our playoff preview special on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
I think you look at the season series, it was every game was really, really close. You know, there's things that they do very, very well, and there's things we do very, very well, and they sort of, you know, counteract each other. So I thought we played them really early. You know, for the most part, I thought we did a pretty good job, you know, especially in their building. I think they've got, you know, we had a pretty good season series.
That's New York Islanders head coach Barry Trotz talking about their first round series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. That series plus the series between the Capitals and the Hurricanes are the final two we have to talk about quickly as we are up against the clock and we still want to give our Stanley Cup predictions and our Conn Smythe prediction. A reminder, Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, 9 a.m. here on TSN Radio 1290. We'll look back, of course, at the first two games between the Jets and the Blues. Game one going tomorrow night, game two on Friday night. If that game goes into overtime on Friday night, we just have to go straight from the arena back to the studio given the 8:30 p.m. puck drop. In any event, all games available here on TSN Radio 1290. Let's start with the Penguins and the Islanders. Not a lot of people giving the Islanders much hope in the series, despite the fact they were the better of the two teams in the regular season. They do have home ice advantage. They do have a raucous and what will be a raucous and crazy atmosphere at Nassau Coliseum. To me, it's going to be a fun series, and, you know, I don't think it's as clear-cut a Penguins victory as a lot of other people might seem to think.
No, absolutely not. And we talked about it. Maybe the only series that has a clear-cut favorite is the Lightning over the Blue Jackets. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Islanders did finish higher than the Penguins, but I think it is the playoff history, the Penguins winning two of the last three cups. That's probably why the Islanders are the underdog, even though they have home ice. But, you know, it comes down to, again, for me, I know you're simplifying it when you say this, but it comes down to the Penguins offense versus the Islanders defense, because we know the Islanders don't score a lot of goals, but they don't give up a lot of goals. And Barry Trotz deserves a ton of credit for how he has turned the Islanders from a defensive joke into a defensive gem. I mean, they were a complete joke under Doug Wade, and no disrespect to Doug Wade, but the Islanders were an absolute pushover. They gave up tons of shots, and sure, Robin Lehner and Thomas Greiss have had a huge, you know, say in that. They've provided excellent goaltending, but Barry Trotz has completely changed the way this team plays, and, you know, they're not an easy out against anybody, but, you know, I still look at this Penguins team, and even though they might not be as good as the Penguins teams from two or three years ago, you've still got Crosby, Malkin, Bukestad, and Cullen up the middle, and, you know, Phil Kessel had another really good year, Jake Guentzel, career year. You know, I really like the addition of Jared McCann. I mentioned Bukestad, and, you know, Bukestad, Kessel, and Dominic Simone, that's a really good third line, and, you know, Chris Letang, I've talked about him a lot this year, Drew. I think he's had a very underrated year. They're completely healthy right now. Matt Murray, I think, had a really good, strong finish to the season. So,
prediction.
I think it's going to be a long series, but I ultimately do think the Penguins are going to win this series. I have the Pens in six, and I'm not disrespecting the Islanders at all. I just think the Penguins are a better team, and I think if Matt Murray was better early on in the season, the Penguins would have finished ahead of the Islanders.
Sean, as he says, the Penguins in six, quickly.
Quickly, I think it'll be a really fun series to watch. I think if the Islanders have any chance of winning, they're going to need to be opportunistic and take advantage of whatever scoring chances are presented against themselves. I also think their defensive game will be tested against the high-flying, offensively potent Penguins. However, I feel the Penguins will take it in six.
So two votes for the Penguins in six. I'm going to hate to disagree with you guys, but I'm going to do it. I think the Islanders pull the upset that isn't really an upset. You know, I think that they win it in seven. Something about this Islanders team has been a little magical this season, and I think they keep that magic going for one more round, and they knock off this Pittsburgh Penguins team that, to me, isn't quite at the level that we're used to seeing them at.
They've also got a coach that has a lot of experience in playing Pittsburgh in the postseason.
Certainly the case. Barry Trotz has done a marvelous job there, so I say the Islanders are going to take that one in seven. Ezzy, quickly, just give me your prediction on the Capitals and the Hurricanes. Can the Hurricanes pull that upset off, or the Hurricanes, the sort of the proverbial just happy to be in the playoffs team after their 11-year absence?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to frame it like that, Drew, yeah, I don't think that the Hurricanes have a good shot at beating the Capitals. I don't think that they're happy to be there. Obviously, Rod Brindamore and the players aren't going to tell you that, but
not only just happy to be there.
No, I know what you're saying, and I just don't think, again, I could see them winning a couple games, and I do have the Capitals winning in six. But I just don't think that there's enough magic for them to pull off a first-round upset. And I agree with what you said when you were speaking with Kevin Allen. The Capitals, I think, are being underestimated by a lot of people. I mean, it's essentially the exact same team. You've still got the high-powered offense with Ovechkin, Backstrom, mm-hmm. Kuznetsov, Oshie. It goes on and on.
The only absence is Michael Kempe.
Well, and then you acquired Nicholas Jensen. He's done a really nice job for the Capitals. He's solidified their top four, right? So
prediction.
I got the Capitals in six.
Capitals in six there, Sean.
I have Caps in five.
I echo you there, Sean. I do also have the Capitals in five. I think the Hurricanes have been a fun story. I don't think it's going to be an easy five games per se, but I think the Capitals are too powerful for the Hurricanes. Not to say, but I do think the Hurricanes should be a perennial playoff team for the next couple of years based on how their roster is currently constructed. Stanley Cup Finals, who do you have? Who do you have winning the Cup? Who's your Conn Smythe? You got 1 minute.
Okay, I'll try to do it in less than a minute, but I'm sticking with my regular season prediction. I mean, the prediction we did at the beginning of the season. I'm going San Jose Sharks versus the Pittsburgh Penguins in the Stanley Cup final, even though I think there's a good chance we're going to see the Lightning in the final and possibly win it. But I'm going San Jose Sharks win the Stanley Cup, and Conn Smythe, I'm going with Joe Pavelski.
Sean.
Quickly, I'm going to go back to 2004. Flames, Lightning in the finals, and I got the Lightning winning it in six.
Hopefully the NHL will improve their
and
video.
And Brad Richards winning the Conn Smythe.
Marty St. Louis for the... No, I'm going to go Nikita Kucherov, Conn Smythe.
I have the Lightning and the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup. The Lightning win, and I think it is Steven Stamkos who is your Conn Smythe winner. That's it for the playoff preview show. The playoffs, of course, begin 7 o'clock tomorrow here on TSN Radio 1290. We have coverage all day. Stay tuned to your home of the Winnipeg Jets. Jim, Troy, Brandon will be with you coming up in about 8 hours' time. Thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
This is NHL Midweek,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.